Good to see you today. God bless you. Listen, if you're a guest with us today, we're honored to have you worship the Lord with us. I'm Pastor Greg, and around here at Hope Church, we give you anonymity, which basically means we're not going to ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself, just kind of hang out and hide out and make yourself at home. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Just a little update, something we've been doing, I guess a couple Wednesdays ago, we started with all the stuff that's been happening, and you see in the media, and we talked about it. We had committed a Wednesday night to prayer just for our community, and we did that the following Wednesday, which is last Wednesday, so we've done it for 2 weeks, and we're going to keep doing it just so we're on the same page until the Lord redirects or we just see this thing totally cleaned up and moved on, amen? And so we believe in the power of prayer, especially corporate unity prayer. And so on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, if you want to be here, if not, you'll be praying from home, but we will be praying for our community and for our families. Amen?
Amen.
Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Come on, put your hands together. We're starting a new series today. Starting a new series today called The Secrets of the Lord. Did you realize that God keeps secrets? I want you to think about that for a second. God, a lot of times in the church world, we talk about the things that God reveals. Maybe stuff God revealed my sin or revealed this or that. But God also is a master at keeping secrets. We see that throughout Scripture. I mean, Moses, a little baby in a basket, and God was able to hide him from being killed. Jesus ministering and people that were trying to get to him. There's times in Jesus' ministry where people were so angry at what he said because the truth was, they were in so much darkness that when they heard the truth, they didn't jump in and say, he's right. They jumped in and said, let's get him. I don't want to do that. And they would try to stone him. And the Bible would use phrases like, he just passed through him. You know what I mean? There's times that God would hide stuff. Like the two men after the resurrection who walked with Jesus all day. And they later, when they realized that it was Jesus and had the revelation, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? So for a whole day, they've been hanging out, walking with the Jesus that was resurrected, and they never got it until later. God has a way of hiding stuff. He has secrets, mysteries. In fact, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Paul says that God has given him the responsibility to preach the gospel, the mystery of the gospel, which he had hidden before the beginning. Now, before I say any more about that, let me back up a little so we're all on the same page so you can see my perspective. Because I don't want you to take my word for anything. One of our rhythms around here is you challenge everything with the Word of God, okay? No matter one way or different, challenge everything with the Word of God in your life. See somebody on TV and says it, that's interesting. Challenge it with the Word, right?
Yes.
Talk to me, church, right?
Right?
But think about this. The Bible tells us that God has always existed, right? There's no one before him. He's the first. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, actually means in the Hebrew, in the timeless past. Before time, there was God, right? Nothing before God. Before nothing, no one, nothing. God starts. And he's also the last. Nothing after him. No, nothing outside him. The Bible says it this way. He's the Alpha and the Omega, which is the first and last letters of their alphabet. He's the first, the beginning, and the end. He's everything in between. God always existed. God is everywhere. Can you get an amen to that?
Amen.
You guys are a great group. Second thing that we can all, I think, agree is that the Bible tells us that God knows everything. Nothing is hidden from the eyes of God. I mean, just not what you do, but what you say and the way you think and the intent of your heart is even revealed before, right? God, some of you are like, OMG. No, don't worry. Praise God for the grace of God. So anyway, no one's perfect, right, except for Jesus. But God sees and knows everything. There's nothing too hard for God. He knows everything. In fact, Jesus gives us a little glimpse of the amazing amount of knowledge that God is able to retain in one millisecond, because Jesus said that if a little bird falls from the tree, your Father sees it. Did you see a bird fall from a tree? Maybe we didn't notice it. Think of all the birds and all the trees and how many are falling per minute. The Father sees it. And Jesus goes on to say that if the Father shows that much detail to those birds, how much more to you? And then he takes it one step farther. You gotta love this. Jesus, like, if that don't blow you away, watch this. Ah, oh, if that don't blow you away, watch this. Ah, oh, you know, and he keeps bringing them into new realms of ah, oh, because they're like that. They think they know God, right? But he's like, you really don't know God, because the more you see God, you're gonna ah, oh, you're gonna freak out because God is so awesome. And Jesus. And Jesus says, not only is that bird important, you're more important. He goes on to say that even the very hairs on your head are numbered. Not counted, numbered. Right? So unless you're losing hair and trying to count how many you have left, you usually don't give much attention to how many you have. And I don't think any of us have ever numbered. Oh, man, I just lost number 185. Man, me and 185, we had some good years together. Gotta go. We don't do that, right? Because think about it. The detail of the number of your hairs is so detailed that we don't think it's worth even noticing. And yet God, your Father, looks at your life with so much detail that the stuff that you think are not important, he still makes important, not just for one, but for all. Man, I can get goosebumps just about that. The detail of God who knows you're just not one in a crowd, one of many. He knows exactly where you're at, who you are, what you're thinking. Right now, that thought, yeah, he knew that. Wait, let's try again. Yeah, that thought too. He knew that too. Right where you're sitting, when you're thinking, who is this crazy? He knew you were going to think that. It's awesome. He knows your heart. He knows all this detailed information. He knew before Adam... sin, God knew Adam was going to fall and humanity would need a Savior and his son would be sent. He knew. Paul says that he's given to me the responsibility of preaching the mystery of the gospel, which was hidden away before time, before the beginning. So before he began, see, the Bible tells us that God sees the end as he does equally the beginning. He sees it all. So before he began, he saw the end and knew that humanity would need a Savior and knew that he would send his son. It was within the wisdom of God. And in fact, the Bible says that when it's all wrapped up, that this is going to blow everybody away of the, King James says, the manifold wisdom of God. How he worked this all out. With the Gentiles getting saved and the Jews coming in the covenant, all this stuff is going to blow us away because God knew before it happened. And God says, you know what? I got a plan. I'm going to call it salvation, the gospel, good news, redemption. I'm going to send my son onto the cross of Calvary to pay for the society's sins because they have fallen because of what Adam's done. And he had yet to breathe into Adam. An amazing plan. But he didn't tell nobody. He kept it secret. In fact, in the New Testament, it tells us that if the enemy would have known the plan of God, he would have never crucified Jesus. I'm here to tell you that the enemy might talk a big talk, but he doesn't know everything. The devil doesn't know everything, and he doesn't know God's plan for your life. See, we put the devil up there with God. No, God knows everything. The devil doesn't. The devil's a created being. He's not everywhere. He doesn't know everything. That's why he's not everywhere. He doesn't know everything. And so if he had known the master plan of the Father, he wouldn't have done it. But he did it because he didn't know, and it worked right into the plans of God to create a redeemer, to save the society and the world from their sins because of what Adam did. And he had it all planned out. In fact, the Bible says that he crucified and put his son on the cross before the foundations of the world. Before time began, he mapped it out. God knows so much that even before you ever have a need, think about this. In the journey of life, you might hit a need. You might think of a wall. It might be a problem, bad doctor's report, a financial strife or situation, marriage, health, whatever it might be. And you hit a wall and you're like, oh, God, where are you in this? Do you realize that according to Scripture, always dig into the Bible because there's stuff in the Bible. Dig in, and as you dig in there, you'll find stuff that God tried to reveal himself in the Old Testament to the people, his people. Because in the Old Testament, they wouldn't even write the name of God. They were so reverent toward God, they thought it was disrespect to even give him a name. And so even in the original writings, they would come and they would leave an empty space where there should be a name, and they keep writing. Which makes sense when Moses stood before the burning bush and God said, I'm sending you, Moses, to go to my people and tell them I said. Moses asked in the, you haven't read this? Maybe go watch it in the movie, right? Ten Commandments? Come on, right? Moses. I mean, Charlton Heston, Moses, you're right? All right, Moses, right? So watch the movie, catch up later. I mean, get Netflix. That should be on there somewhere. So anyway. And so he's standing before the flame, before the glory of God, and he says to him, whom should I say? Moses was a smart guy, trained by the best educators of the land in the house of Pharaoh. He knew that the Hebrew God did not know, that his people did not have a name, so he was saying, tell me your name that I can tell your people. Give me something to bring them that they do not know, so they know that I've talked to you, because I could not come up with this myself. We try to bring people stuff that they already know. What if we encounter God in a way that he gives us something that they do not know, so that they know that we could not do it on our own, and we've been with God? Ooh, I liked it. And God said to Moses, tell him I am that I am. He's always. He's everywhere. He's not going to be, he's not, I am. He wasn't, no, I am. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, let's just take a minute and just thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus. Now catch this. So before anything ever happened to you, God wants you to know who he is and what he can do for you. And so one of the names that God, I'm back on track now, God started revealing his names, revealing himself through names so people would understand it's part of his temperament or personality or character. One of the names that God gave people was Jehovah Jireh. Have you ever heard that word? We used to sing that in the 70s. Don't ask me to sing. Don't ask me to do that dance. I'm not going to do either one. So Jehovah Jireh, remember, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, right? Your grace is sufficient for me. But it actually means Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees my need in advance and has backed up in time and made provision for the need through himself on the cross. Whew, man, there's an anointing here. Just like when Abraham was getting ready to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac said, Father, where will be the sacrifice? The Lord will provide himself. He provided himself on the cross as the key to purchasing everything you would ever need. That's why the Bible says not you're going to be healed. It says you were healed. Why? Because God, by the stripes. It's something in our mindset of timeline, you have to back up. It's already completed. And that's why the promises of God, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm having too much fun right now. That's why the promises of God, the Bible says, to you are yay and amen. That's King James English. That literally means that the promises that God has done, that he's purchased by his son on Calvary, that to you individually, just not to us globally, because we have a mindset and the devil talks us into it, that's for everybody else, but not for you. You have a unique problem, a unique scenario, something totally different. No, it doesn't matter if it's ever been thought of before. If you're a child of God, the promises of God to you are yes, that means approved, and so be it. You don't need to ask me. This is better than being pre-qualified for a house loan. That means you got it all lined up. Now you just got to pick and pull it what belongs to you. And you inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. Now let me back up to where I was going earlier. So think about this. So anytime you run into a problem, Jehovah Jireh, the God who sees your need before there was a need, before you knew of the need, before you were even in existence to know what a need was, before your parents and grandparents were even born, God knew on that day you would have a need backed up in time, because he's the all-sufficient one, and said, I'm going to make provision. Because he sees again equally the end from the beginning. Nothing the devil can come up with catches God off guard, because the moment the devil comes up with a new idea, God says, I've already been there, I've already seen that, and before you thought of it, I backed up and made an answer to fix it. Which you can understand why in the Bible, there's no question about it, that God can boldly and with confidence say, no weapon formed against you. It didn't say no weapon that we know about today. It didn't say no weapon to our understanding. He means no weapon then, no weapon now, anything created in the future that hasn't even been thought of today. It doesn't matter, because the moment it's thought of, God was already there. He already saw it. He's dealt with it and stands in the time of eternity with boldness to declare on the cross that no weapon formed against you will prosper today, tomorrow, ever. In the name of Jesus. No chemical weapon, no political weapon, no mental weapon, no emotional weapon, no physical weapon, no spiritual weapon, no word spoken against you in judgment. You condemn it. No weapon of any. No weapon. How could God be that confident when he said it so long ago? Because God just doesn't exist long ago. He exists in all levels. He's that amazing. He's that amazing. I love talking about how awesome your God is. He's that amazing. So when we hit a wall in the journey of life, a problem, a mountain, call it what you want metaphorically. When you hit a situation, too many times, in my opinion, we tend to analyze the problem so we can give a good report to God. But God knew the details of the problem before you existed. And if God's word is true, and Isaiah 55:11 tells us that it will not return void but accomplish what it sent, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word fails, that if I build my life upon the solid foundation of obedience to the truth revealed to me, that even when storms, I will stand. So if those be true, and God watches over his word to perform it, if those be true, then when I hit a wall, when we hit a wall, maybe we shouldn't start analyzing so much of the problem. Maybe we should start looking for the door that he already created. Well, how would he create a door that fast? Because the moment the devil said, I'm building a wall, God said, I already put a door there. He will make a way where there is no way. Don't you just love the Bible? Don't you just love the Bible? Every time the devil started messing with it, all you got to stick to is the word. He will make a way where there is no way. How does he do that? Because the moment the devil started, God said, I'm already done. What are you done doing? I've already made a solution. I already made a solve. I already fixed it before you. But I haven't finished my problem. Don't worry. The moment you start creating the problem, devil, I already fixed it. Almost make you want to feel sorry for the devil, but we don't. And we're not going to. Come on, somebody. He shouldn't have messed with you in the first place. You ought to walk by and kick dust in the devil. That'll learn you. Leave me alone. Don't mess with me. No weapon formed against you. Why? Because God, instead of looking for the problem and creating the details to kind of report to God, he said, God, you already knew I was going to be here. You knew the problem. Jesus, you already dealt with this on the cross. Now I thank you that you're going to give me the solution to walk through this. So I'm not going to magnify the problem. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. His name identifies provision. Our emphasis of magnification identifies direction. Who he is connected to what he can do, what he's planning on doing, where his will and plan is.
That's right.
So I start, all right, God, I know you were here before I was here. You knew I was going to be dealing with this. You already dealt with this. It's already been solved. So now I need to find the solution to what's already been solved before the problem was even created. Where's the door? Ah, now that leads us to where I want to get this morning. All that for that. Because in life, in the journey of life, you will run into challenges, walls, mountains, a pause, like a DVR. And maybe you're there in an area of your life, though you know that the promises of God to you are yes, and so be it. And though you know what the promises of God are, And you know that they are legally yours, but are yet to be literally yours. Which means I can celebrate them on Sunday, but I'm still not living them on Monday. That's not the plan of your Father. That's not the plan of your Father. He wants you to inherit the promises. And we inherit by faith and patience. And some things happen immediately. Some take time. Some take time. And we wonder, okay, what's taking so long? I mean, you look through history. Abraham, with that child Isaac, it wasn't the next day. Noah and the big boat, it wasn't in 2 weeks. 100+ years. We have a tendency of wanting things resolved within minutes. I like it that way, don't you? Food, give me 5 minutes. Drive-through, 3 minutes. Microwave, 60 seconds. I'll spend 2 minutes debating on my microwave if I want to do 60 seconds or 90 seconds, which it would have been done by the time I figure out which way I want to go. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. We want it quickly, and we can pray and say, God, I don't know what the problem. You say you honor your word, and I prayed your word, and I've obeyed, and I've prayed, and I don't know the answer yet, and it's been 17 minutes. God, are you asleep? What's wrong? Have you forgotten me? Are you not watching over your word anymore to perform it? Lord, I believe, Mark 11, 23, 24, I believe I receive. 18 minutes, God. And we can get upset when God doesn't answer to our level of timeline. God, what's the problem? And usually we want God to deal with by moving everything out of our way. Make it disappear. Things don't always disappear, do they? God, it's been 18 minutes. What if we stopped approaching God saying it's been 18 minutes? Where's the problem? If you don't give me the answer in 18 minutes, I'm going to find another way. Because if you find another way, it might be another way, but it's not God's way. And what you birth in your flesh, which means what you create in your own physical ability, you have to remember what you birth in the flesh, you have to maintain in the flesh. And we can get there on our own way, but if it's not God's way, you will be exhausted. Because when God does it his way, it's a whole different ballgame. That's why God told his people, when you are financially blessed, don't let yourself start thinking it was by your hands. Remember, it was by my hands. For it is I that's given you power to get wealth. Because when God blesses you, he will bless you and add no sorrow to it. You can get rich the world way. And I mean, we need to work both ways, and it might look the same, but there's a difference, God's way and the world's way. And the world's way, you do it world's way, you can get rich, but all of a sudden, all the time you spent getting the money, and now you finally get there, now you spend, the average person, now they spend more time trying to keep what they got. Now they don't know who their friends are and who's trying to get money from them. Now they can spend all this extra insurance in case someone's trying to get it from them or trying to hurt somebody around them, take their money, and they spend all their energy, more energy than they use to get the money. They're trying to keep the money. And that's not God's way. That's sorrow. Abraham. This is a tactic of the devil. Abraham, I want you to, you know, maybe God's plan is not through me. Maybe, you know, it's just you and then any of your kids. So let's hook you up with a date with one of my employees. And bad idea. But Abraham, sure, let's do it. Later, man, Ishmael was born. But you birthed in the flesh. You'll have to maintain in the flesh. The devil tried it with Jesus. The Bible says that in the wilderness when he's fasting, he took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And said, all this authority has been given to me and to whom I want to give it to. If you bow down and worship me right now, Jesus, I'll give you that authority. What was he doing? Giving him a way to cut around God to get what looked to be God stuff. The devil will always give you opportunities to cut corners, to do something. Well, it's not really ethical or it's not honest, but you know what? The ends justify the means. At least I'm getting to what God promised. You can get to what God promised you, and it might look like what God's promised you, but if you do it without God, you cannot keep it. And here's the reason why you can't keep it. It will carry on such a weight of responsibility that you physically will not last. You'll either die or you'll give up and let it fall because you cannot hang on to it. But when you do it God's way, did you hear me? When you do it God's way, The Bible says that he will keep, sustain, and protect your mind, body, and estate in perfect harmony, balance, and peace. What is he telling you? The God who brought you there can keep you there. And then we used to, God, you brought me to this place. I don't have to worry about someone trying to take my position. You brought me to this position, and you're well able to keep me in this position. You brought me to this success. I don't have to worry about someone stealing it. It's from you. See, when you do it, you're always worried about somebody taking it from you. I know people who look successful on the outside, but inside they're miserable because they never can rest. With God, there's rest and a grace to handle what you cannot handle on your own. So when we get to a situation, it's a matter of saying, okay, God, you were here before. Give me the wisdom. Give me the secret. Give me the mystery. We're not talking about mystic stuff. We're talking about information that God has for your life in the step you're at, the journey you're at right now. God knows. He knows everything. He knows where you're going. He knows where he wants you to go. Right. And he knows what you need to do it well. But he's holding it. And he's not holding it because he's trying to be mean. He's not holding it because he's trying to play a game with you. Many times he's holding it because you're not ready to access it. Turn to the verse in the Gospels where Jesus said to his disciples, I'll put a Greg Bruce translation. Jesus said, hey, there's a lot of things I have to tell you guys. We'll throw it up on the screen so you can see the actual text. Jesus said, there's many things I have to tell you, but you are not ready. The King James says, able to bear it. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I have many things to tell you, but you're not ready for it. And I think the reason we're not ready for it is because, I'm not picking you, I'm going to pick on myself because I think it's a human tendency. Now, if this is not you, God bless you. You are that much ahead of all of us. But I think there's a human tendency for all of us, wherever we're at, whatever level we're at in life, that we want all that God has for us, but we don't want anything to change inside us. I don't want to change my outlook. I don't want to change my perspective. I don't want to change my attitude. I don't want to change how I handle money. I don't want to change how I spend money. I don't want to change how I deal with problems. I don't want to change how I deal with people. I like the rhythm of who I am. Leave me alone. But God, kumbaya, everything you have for me, dump it here. I'm just being real. And if God gives you everything without developing you, you can't. Where you're at today is not qualified to all the greatness that God has for you tomorrow. And if it's like, God, I'm not going to change, but I want everything you promised, well, maybe you're not ready for it yet. Maybe there's something you have to get from his hand, a revelation, an inside track, a mystery, a secret, something that he knows because who he is, he's God, and he has your map, your plan. Hebrews says, run the race that's set before you. God knows the race he wants you to run. The Old Testament says, I know the plans I have for you. God knows what he wants you to do. He's got works, he's got achievements, he's got goals, he's got accomplishments, he's got people to reach. All those things come into play. He knows in detail what he wants you to do. We get caught up trying to match, compete, and compare. Oh, that looks pretty good on them. I'm going to try it myself. And that's like looking at someone who's got an outfit. Oh, that looks really good on them. I'm going to try that same outfit on, same size. They're 4'2", you're 6'7", and it's not going to fit you well. And some of us have been living a journey of life that does not fit as well, because we're trying to do something that was not designed for us to do. I'm not talking about your relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about in the rhythm of life and destiny and purpose and calling. And you can do good things, but if it wasn't what God called you to do, it's never going to fit you right. But when you step in the flow of who God made you and what God's called you to do, it will flow easily for you. It doesn't mean you don't deal with challenges, but all of a sudden, there's a grace that comes with what he's called you to do. Said, I have a lot of stuff I want to tell you guys, but you can't bear it. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things of God belong to him. And the things revealed belong to us and our children. cool thing is once God gives you the secret for your next step. Ooh, that's good right there. I like that. I didn't say that first. When God gives you the secret for your next step that will help you succeed, that step that will help you go to the next level, that step that will help you break through. It might be, God, I've been single so long, you know I want to be married. What's the deal? God, I want a better job. I'm working so hard. Why am I not there financially? What's the deal? God, I'm trying to do everything right physically, but I'm still not healthy and I don't feel energetic anymore. What's the deal? God, whatever that is going on, God, I'm trying to be the best you call me to be, but my marriage is falling apart. What's the deal? God knows exactly what the deal is. He knows the problem, but he also knows the secret answer. And he wants to get it to you. And once he gives you the secret to that next step, it's yours. It's not only yours, you can pass it along to others so that when they run into that same problem, they have the answer. Because Proverbs tells us wisdom is the principal thing. I am so excited about this series because this series is not going to be getting up and telling you what the secrets are. The purpose of this series is to get us all to first realize that God has secret stuff that he wants to give you. And what do we need to do to start pursuing and accessing those so that you can access the secrets of God for your next step and experience the success of God in your life in any and all areas. Once we start applying this, it does not mean that you, once you start applying this, that everything's going to come into play in 24 hours. But what it does mean is it's bringing you to a whole nother level of living and opened up all the potential of God that he has for you, that you can pursue and have. Just not celebrate on Sunday, but experience it on Monday. I just don't want to shout, praise God, he's my Jehovah Jireh, and all my needs are met. I want to be able to write a check to somebody and say, here, oh, I don't know you, but I see you have a need. Here's some money. What would happen if you're eating at a restaurant and all of a sudden you notice that your waiter or waitress is down and discouraged, and all of a sudden you're like, here's a $100 bill. She'll probably listen to you, or he'll probably listen to you the next time you come in. And then you start talking about the goodness of God. After you display the goodness of God. I don't go down that road. We'll leave that for another time. I'm telling you. We have to move beyond the idea of what is ours, legally ours, to what is literally, and bring it into the world of what you are living, literally ours. There is stuff that God has, secrets that God has, that will help propel you to the direction of the fulfillment of your life if you're able to receive it. You ready? You want to know how to begin to experience? We start next week. Make sure you're here. The next few weeks. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.